Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Carlotta Waldman, and I'd like to welcome you to Crosswalk Talk Radio. This is a production of CrosswalkLife.com, and we also have NowFaith.tv, a ministry training school by video and audio online. We're here to provide 8 different ways, actually, that you can be built up, taught, and trained, and be ready to be those end-time witnesses. You go to crosswalklife.com, you can see what those 8 ways are, and more than half of them are free because we want you to have access to all the mentoring and training that you need. This program is designed so that you can not only get 30 minutes or so of teaching each time, but that you can call in and receive personal prophetic ministry just for you. That number is 917-388-4683. Tonight we have a very special guest that we've had, I don't know, at least 3 times before, Apostle Diane Nutt from Rockwell, Texas. I think Texas is still part of the United States, isn't it?
It is.
They keep talking about leaving every few years. Apostle Diane Nutt is the senior pastor of a church. She's trying to travel more and all of that, but we're just so honored to have her with us tonight, because if you have been in leadership any time, you become alert to what makes a good team member, whether it's a ministry team member, whether it's with verbal gifts, serving gifts, admin gifts, whatever it is, you become more alert. Because, you know, I just have to say this in the introduction to make it more real, Apostle Diane.
Uh-huh.
I believe that people in general, until they've been a leader, they do not understand how important it is to respect authority, to not only respect husbands, but to respect pastors or employers or whoever.
Yes.
But if you have been the leader, then you understand. You're sensitive to whether people really respect you or whether they're, like, competing with you all the time or something. You know what I mean?
Right. That's so true. That's so true, Prophet Carlotta. It is.
Have you had a little experience with poor team players?
Yes. Throughout the years, there has been. And you know, it's just something that we have to open ourselves up to and to be willing to work together as a team, because we know that team, we've always said, together everyone achieves more. And so when we work together, knowing that each one of us have been gifted and we've been called, and if we just learn to really focus on God and to know that we're doing what we do as unto Him, then that helps us to keep the right perspective.
Amen.
For sure.
Well, we've invited not only team members, but leaders to call in tonight because some people have been hurt by, say, authoritarian, dictatorial type leaders, legalistic leaders, whatever. But a lot of leaders have been hurt by people that seem to want to be on the team, but they really just want the mic or the spotlight, or they're actually undermining.
Right. That is so true. And, you know, we could go, but I know we're not going to go in this direction, but there are reasons why, you know, people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rejection and just different things, you know, not always wanting to have that place and that spot, places where they've been hurt and in past and not received and so forth.
Amen.
And so,
well, like you say, we won't get down to the root causes, but tonight, I believe in the next 25 minutes that we can share, we've outlined about 30 points. We've had really good resources. So many nice books have been written. And I can't even tell you what they are yet, or you'll be jumping ahead of me and knowing exactly where we're going with this. But what we want to do is give you a self-test by sharing about 30 points with you. If you'll write those down, then you can rate yourself as we go. Would your leadership say that you have this problem or that they would see this in you? So we want you to take this according to how your leadership would see you, not what you say about you. So if they've ever complained about you doing this, then go ahead, fess up, put it down. And then at the end, we'll grade it. And we'll be mentioning some spirits that are involved along the way, because lots of times demonic spirits work together, and it's not just our flesh. It's demonic spirits putting us up to things, like let's you and him fight. But we're just going to take turns sharing these points, let you take the test, and then we'll tell you more insights, okay? But take it about yourself, not your friend.
It's easy to think about someone else. But
yes, it is. But we don't want the Holy Spirit to be quenched. We want the Holy Spirit to be able to show us how we can be a better team player. And I tell you, there's nothing like team ministry. At Christian International, we were on prophetic teams every single week, and it just runs so smoothly and is such a blessing if everybody's a good team member.
It is. I can agree.
Well, absolutely. One of the things, we'll just take turns. One of the things that I want you to put down, like number one, is that something that a lot of people don't know, what I've discovered from the counseling that I've done too, is that they don't just make their desires known, they kind of demand or command it. And a lot of people, Diane, they don't realize that when you're the authority figure, it is hard when somebody is giving you commands rather than requests.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. And the student does not question the teacher in that respect or speak to the teachers, but the teacher is the student. And so a leader is obviously a leader because they have something to teach and something to impart. But sometimes people can find it necessary to challenge, you know, to put a challenge out there and to put a demand on what they want, you know, what they believe.
Right. That was number one. Why don't you share number two, and we'll just go on down.
Okay. And then the next thing is, a lot of times we can have, and this comes just right in with that, is we can have a negative reaction to a new ideal that is presented to us, and we can criticize and we can complain about it. Mm-hmm. And that happened many times. I've seen that many times that has happened.
And it's not, I think the key word there is it's clearly a reaction. It's not an appropriate discussion. You just react to what the leader's trying to do and get critical and complaining.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then you get into number three. You make the leader feel disrespected or fearful, hopeless, disillusioned, or discouraged. Now, that's a mouthful. But maybe what you said had this innuendo or this implication that showed that you don't really respect their leadership that much. And it can stir up fear in somebody if they see you disrespecting them in public or with other people. And if they're already overworked or whatever, they can start actually feeling hopeless or disillusioned or discouraged if you keep it up. So it's important, very important, to be respectful.
That is so true. And then we can get into a place of being resentful over past issues when they didn't go the way that you wanted them to go. Mm-hmm. And what you have to understand is that when you have submitted yourself to the leadership of those whom God has appointed over you, that God gives them the blueprint. He shows them, and so when they bring that direction or that instruction, hopefully they're doing it to their best ability and being led by the Holy Spirit. And so when you challenge that and you build up that resentment, then you end up having an attitude towards the leader, and then you're not able to receive openly from the Holy Spirit in that leader's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and leaders are people too.
That's right.
Leaders
and they're trying to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if somebody out there is already saying, well, there's no way I can be a good team member under the leadership that I've got, then ask God, you know, am I supposed to stay under them or not? And if he says stay under them, then this does apply to you, because maybe you're called to be their intercessor or burden bearer, but not to be reacting and disrespectful and complaining. In fact, some people go on to the next one where they become pushy, elevating their insights and spiritual revelation over other team members or over the leaders. It's clear that they have this attitude that they should push their insights and their revelations because they're clearly superior in their eyes. And, you know, pride never works. It just does not work.
That's right. And the Bible says to honor authority, even if that authority is not doing it with the right spirit. You are still to honor authority, and because it is not, you know, it's not up to you, but you can humble yourself and still do what God has chosen and what he has called you to do. Mm-hmm. And I won't go there with that because I know we're on a time limit here, but I've been in that situation before with, you know, with mm-hmm. a leader myself.
Right.
Many, many years ago, and I still, even though that leader didn't speak to me in the right spirit and said things that were, you know, just should not have been said the way they were, I had to forgive, and I had to mm-hmm. humble myself and know that God was going to help me and that he, you know, that he would see me through. And so we can get, if we allow what we were talking about earlier, the resentment to be there and those type of things, we can end up usurping authority. I could have ended up usurping authority. And mm-hmm. The Bible clearly talks about for us not to usurp authority or to undermine other people's confidence in their qualifications. We have to let leaders grow as much as you have to let your own self grow. Everyone is growing.
Amen.
No one has arrived. And it's just that, again, if the Lord has you in a place where he has authority, he's giving you authority for your protection and to impart into you and to teach and to nourish you, you have to remember, in Prophet Carlotta, you said this earlier, leaders are people too, and so they are growing. Maybe some of them have never been in a place where they've been in authority.
Yeah.
So we all have to be forgiving and loving towards one another. Submitting.
And there's
one
the way you
another.
Say things. For number
uh-huh.
eight, I would say when you compare them negatively to your own gifts and abilities. Now, mm-hmm. what the people I have respected the most that are actually generals of intercession or generals of
uh-huh.
the prophetic or counseling or whatever they do, they are not out there trying to prove something.
No.
And they're not comparing themselves as being extremely superior to the team members. They're servant leaders. And so when you see somebody that's always got to compare others negatively to their own gifts, well, you know, they're not as gifted as I am, is what they're saying, even if they don't say it. Or they don't have the ability that I have. I don't know why they were chosen. You know, they might just come right out and say that. But see, God promotes the humble. And when you're comparing other people, team members or leaders, you know, they just don't have what I've got, this is not going to get you promoted faster. We better get off that one and on to number nine.
That's right. That is so true, though. It's easy to elaborate on a lot of these because there are things that are just easily done without knowing why we're doing them. Well, then when we do compare and, you know, negatively to leaders' gifts and their abilities, then you can find yourself, maybe you don't feel like you fit in or, you know, with them, and you're not giving them that support that you should be giving them, because it's not about, it is about their vision, but ultimately it's about the vision that God has given to them and for the body of Christ. And so then you're not fully committing yourself, and you really, you end up demonstrating unfaithfulness. And that is by not doing, you know, you can not do what you should be doing. And then if a leader is having to tell you all the time what to do because you're not willing to fit into that place to where you've been called, then it becomes a burden to that leader, because they're not only doing what God's called them to do, but they're having to always be getting on to you or not getting on to you, but telling you, you know, you need to do this. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And so we need to come together as a team and work together.
And they may see that you don't fit in and that you're not that faithful. You're faithful to yourself. You're not faithful to the team. And then they choose somebody else, and then you bellyache some more because you're not sure why. But number 10, it can be this. It doesn't have to be like it's a serious demonic spirit, except it can be that you just dominate conversations or intercessory meetings or ministry opportunities or whatever by talking too much. And I had to really look at this one. I know you all are surprised. Or you're always sharing your feelings, and your feelings set the mood for the whole room because you're just all feelings. Or you've come in with an attitude and it changes the atmosphere in the room. Or if you don't get enough attention, maybe you just burst into tears and you try to get your attention. Or people really do this. They really do this. They just have to have the spotlight.
I've seen that a lot in the tear things. I mean, they can drop out the crocodile tears just instantly, and you're like, really? You know, that's not necessary right now. You know, we don't need that. So then number 11, do you find yourself possibly wanting to seduce others, to separate or to divide, to bring division because of false accusations that you're making? And all of these are serious things that need to be addressed. But it's bad enough when you have made a false accusation, but when you're seducing others, and you're trying to get others to come, like, onto your team, onto your side, or to, you know, that's just flat right out. That is disunity, and that is division, and you're going to cause others to stumble by the false accusations that you've made, and all of those are things that God says don't do. Just don't do those.
And some things are like the result of personality style. It may not be, again, may not be sinister, but like number 12, have you ever sacrificed harmony and unity just because you had to prove your point? See, some personality styles have a strong point of being able to make things clear. They're very careful about what words they choose and all, and it can be a strong point. But if you get a demonic spirit in there, a flesh in there, then you can actually ruin the harmony and unity that's going on in a prayer meeting, a meeting, on a team, in ministry time, because you've got to prove your point, that you're right, you know.
Boy, that happens. And then you can, that leads right into number 13, because you can end up having a, you can become rigid and hard-nosed, and you just don't want to yield to anything. There's no flexibility. You're just like you're set, and you're not going to yield no matter what. And that is, well, that gets over into stubbornness, and then we just go on into other things from that. But it's very obvious when someone has become rigid. And when you're unyielding, it's, you know, you can stand there with your hands clenched or you can have them together. You don't lift your hands when there's the opportunity to lift your hands and maybe praise the Lord.
Well, I want to give a very common example. I can't resist on that one. That so many people become frightened or angry or threatened if a method changes. For instance, when we were even in prophetic training, if we did it one way one week and then the next week we said, well, how about you give more words of knowledge this week and somebody else will do the prophetic flow, and they would get all bent out of shape. But the Holy Spirit lets that happen to show us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's Him doing it, He's able, no matter what our job is. But sometimes innuendos and little comments or looks or a look with your eyes, all different ways, they're all different ways to present the leadership is not really welcome at this meeting, or that they're just mediocre. If only we had a pastor like other church, or even a liability. You know, this church could really go somewhere if it wasn't for this leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen things like that happen. And you might be thinking, well, my pastor is a witch. And I have seen that. I know that that happens sometimes. But again, ask God if He planted you there. And if He planted you there, then your job is not to attack and undermine. Your job is to pray and to be very careful what you say, you know, very careful.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And then number 15 is if you're not careful, you can become very disloyal to leadership under stress. And you can cause others because of what you are, because of that, or how you are, the attitude of your heart, and you can cause others to dislike the leaders and even to possibly to reject them. And so I've seen that, and I've been around that, many of these things. I've said these are real issues, and there are consequences for every single one of these. And so be sure you're being honest with yourself while you're answering these, and don't be ashamed, and don't, there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And so we want to see you get free, but we want to see you be able to flow in the body of Christ and with your leaders and with others so that the will of God can be done and Father God can be glorified.
Amen. Amen. I'm thinking of so many things, but we're going to try to keep it down to 30. Sometimes there's somebody that just has to be in the lead. What, they don't even know that team member means that sometimes they're not the leader. They just have to be in the lead, and they'll manipulate or push their way into positions. Just really, you know, all kinds of ways. We've all seen that. But God has tested me many a time. I might be the one with the most experience there, clearly. You know, I might be the only one that's had any training at all in a certain area. But God tells me, do not assume that I'm going to choose you. I may want somebody else to step out, you know.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter if you have all the qualifications and the other people have none. We are all to be submitted to God.
That's right. Boy, that's so true, because we're all growing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If everyone can understand that leaders are growing just like what you are growing, but you still have to honor and respect, and obviously they have in them what you need, or God would not have you where He has you, where He has you planted. And so that's just, wow, that's just so important. And, you know, sometimes you may get upset because you did try to manipulate your way into a position, and then you got found out, so then you just shut down total communication with that leader. That's number 17. you know, when things don't go your way, if when you don't do what you think you should be doing, or when you're asked something and you're to do something a certain way, someone else has had a place of leadership under that leader, and you respond negatively to it, do you just shut down communication and do you withdraw yourself from that leader to punish them? And mm-hmm. so you just don't say anything. You pout. You know, that's very childish to do that. And that's very hurtful to a leader who is continually pouring in to your life so that you can be who God has called you to be. And so we have to understand that the Bible says to not make, don't make it grievous for your leader. And so all of these things are things that can make your leader grievous, but you want to have good fruit.
Well, that leads right into 18. 18 says don't have unrealistic expectations. And that could be of the leader. You know, you're expecting them to be perfect or to answer the phone in the middle of the night all the time or to be at every single meeting or, you know, whatever. Or it can be unrealistic expectations that you'll be promoted, that they'll acknowledge that you're the most, you know, God's gift to the planet, whatever. And you're pressuring them to either perform beyond all reason, according to your standards, or pressuring them to choose you or whatever. Your just expectations are just out of line.
Because you can feel that draw. You can feel that pull. When someone's pulling on you, whether it's Prophet Carlotta or the Spirit of God in you, or you're pulling out of a selfish motive because you want to be chosen.
That's right.
You know, to be something. And so that just goes, all of these are just going right, one right into another. I love this because it's just, I love how the Holy Ghost orchestrates things. And so you have to be careful. And I've seen this so many times, the undermining of other people that you know, their ability to trust leadership because of things that you have said and things, you know, in gossip. And so, once again, you have to be careful. You have to be careful what you say. And we have to learn how to submit to one another with a pure heart. And don't say things that are going to be taking away from another person having that place of submission to be their leader. And then simply gossip is wrong. You're not supposed to gossip, period. If you have an issue with a leader, then you need to go talk to that leader. You don't need to talk to another person about that leader, because then you are affecting their relationship with that leader.
See, and that includes not only the church leader, but maybe your employer. God told me once he was not going to release me from an awful job that I was in until I learned not to talk about the boss. And he gave me another year to learn it, and I had to stay there another year. But we can actually cause our leader's progress to be delayed, slowed down, stunted, their contributions unheard, which might have been exactly what God wanted them to contribute, by our attitudes and us getting in the way.
Oof.
So it is so true. If someone believes you're no good and you won't amount to anything and you can't do it, it is so much harder to excel around that person. And mm-hmm. we can actually cause other people's progress to be stunted. And then we blame them for it and talk about them some more. This has mm-hmm. got to stop. This happens too much. Instead of speaking their potential into existence,
that's right,
and building them up, you're actually tearing them down, and then they do worse. But God notices. God notices all that.
Yes, he does. And Prophet Carlotta, I say this quite often, my ascent is your ascent, and my mm-hmm. arising is your arising.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just, you know, that just fits just flows right in. We're all fighting the good fight of faith. And so we all need to really, truly be for each other and, you know, not just focused on us. And so that goes right into number 21. If, you know, maybe you're someone who you always have to have special attention, or you have to be catered to, or you want to be on a pedestal all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is just a very prideful thing. And when really when you get into a place of leadership, and the thing is we're all called to be leaders, because our life should be glorifying God, and people should be following. So we are all, in a sense, leaders. But if you always have to have special attention and, you know, everybody knows, and you have to, people have to tiptoe on, mm-hmm. on eggshells around you, that is just totally pride.
Mm-hmm.
That is just downright out pride, and God doesn't give grace to the proud. It's what Prophet Carlotta was sharing earlier. He gives pride to the humble, and he opposes the proud, and opposition comes into your life because of that proudness. And so we have to become and have that spirit, that lowly spirit, and become nothing. And, I could run on that one, but I won't.
Okay. You're going to get in trouble.
Number 22, yes. Number 22.
I told her we can't tell stories or somebody will think it's about them.
Oh,
you know, we
yeah.
don't want to hurt anybody. You know how we
right.
know all this. We've either been it or dealt with it, you know.
But that's right.
There are people that just have to distract the focus and get it on themselves. And that's not the worst part of it. It's the focus should have been on Jesus, not any person in the group. It should have been on Jesus, say on a ministry team. But they have to keep pulling the focus back to themselves, and that can be the way they dress, the way they talk. You know, they've got to be louder or laugh more or talk more or something. They can't just serve.
Mm-mm.
And I'm going to say that I teach a seminar on raising up teams. And one of the assignments that we have is we have all these cute little assignments. You know, you have to act out a nursery rhyme or something. But on each assignment that I give them, and they're all real easy, but I say there's going to be a different leader for each assignment. Because some people automatically hide and don't do enough, and other people automatically will take the lead every time. And so if you're one of those people that's got to have the focus of the house on you, and you have to be the leader and you don't know how to be anything else, then just back up. You know, let God show you how to be a good team member.
Come on. That's good. That's real good. I mean, that is just a absolutely... absolutely good thing, and he will help you to learn, and that's what I love about God. He's so merciful, but we don't want to abuse that mercy and his forgiveness towards us, so we need to recognize these things and be real with ourselves and see these things and know that we must change. And
okay.
This is a biggie here, number 23. This is a biggie right here. Maybe a lot of times you are doing things, but you're always late. Ooh, that's really disrespectful for those who are on time. And if we're late in just doing the things that we need to do or what we've been given to do, if we're late in the natural, then we can't be early. Or I won't say early, but on time with the word of the Lord. However you are in the natural, you know, it's that comes, that kind of defines you in the spirit. And so if God can't trust you because you're doing things, you're being late or you're doing things halfway, I mean, it's grievous to any leader, to your supervisor on your job, or in the church, if you are doing a halfway job, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but not all of it. You're not doing it completely. You're not putting in everything that we're doing. Prophet Carlisle, the Bible says it's supposed to be as unto the Lord.
Or you're doing it, and maybe you are on time, but you don't do it with a cheerful attitude. And
wow.
People say, well, you don't know what I've been through. You know, the devil attacked me and all that. Believe me, brothers and sisters,
well,
the devil's job is to attack you. So anytime you're going to be on a team doing things in the natural, secular, spiritual, church, whatever you're doing, the devil is going to try to trip you up. What the team leader is looking for are people that can walk in the Spirit anyway.
Come on. That's it. That added-
anyway, anybody can walk in the Spirit when you're the getting all the attention and everybody loves you.
Right.
What we're looking for
that's
in a good
true.
Team member is somebody that can do it with a cheerful attitude. And I was just tacking on to your number 23. Now, this is number 24. Now, here's a sneaky one. You have to be thanked, appreciated, or rewarded, or you don't keep working. And how many times, you know, over the years, you can probably look back, all of us, and see where you knocked yourself out for something and people just took it for granted or even criticized you. Yeah. And you're sitting there and the devil's tempting you to think, well, I wasn't paid a thing, you know. This is all volunteer. But in the kingdom of God, we're doing it unto the Lord. And we shouldn't, I mean, he will let us be tested by having people forget to thank us for donating whatever we donated or whatever. And people will, you know, forget to appreciate us. And if there was a reward that was promised, they may forget they promised it or whatever. But see, God is testing when that happens. It's not just about people saying,
yeah.
Will you do, are you building the kingdom of God or your own kingdom?
That is so good. That is so good.
This is my night to be tough.
We better work. We're doing it for the kingdom.
I'm playing the bad guy tonight, so.
I know you're being. I'm being nice tonight.
You are. You're doing the pastoral, and I'm doing the prophet part that says, "Come on, we all saw that. Quit pretending you didn't do it and straighten up." Okay.
But 25. Maybe you're that one that you have to have just total supervision all the time, and you require coaching just for basic things and what God has called you to do, whether it's in the church. I mean, that's one thing that, this is another thing that is very grievous to leaders when they're constantly having to tell you just very, very descriptively, step by step, what to do. And when you don't really take that responsibility, it's surprising how many I talk to that want to be leaders, they want to be in the ministry, but they can't follow simple instructions, or they have to be just told over and over and over just for very basic things. At some point in time, you have to take that responsibility and do it and say, mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ. But you can't stay in that place and expect to be promoted if you're not being faithful in the little in what you are doing. You know, the little, God's not going to give you more.
Here's a sneaky one. Number 26. You just do some little thing or say some little thing that causes others to doubt the intentions or the motivations of the leaders or another team member. Because, see, that's when you're really getting into being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's always late, for instance, I'll say that because I've had to struggle with that. Not when I'm the leader usually, though. But if somebody's always late and you're stating a fact and asking them, you know, to really, really, you know, make the effort to be on time, that's one
right.
thing, but see, if you comment on their intention or motivation, then you are judging them because you can't read their mind. If you're saying that you're just late because you don't care about this church and what we're doing, then you're judging their intentions or their motivations.
Right.
That is definitely being judgmental.
Oh.
Or if you say, you know, the pastor's just here to earn a salary, he doesn't really love anybody here, that's totally out of line. You know, just totally.
Ooh,
you're getting into as if you can read minds and to know what's on his heart. But even if you're right, that's God's job to convict him of that. We are not Holy Spirits.
That's right, and not all pastors are all salary either.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, yeah, we could be judging, you know, in that respect. But when we get into judging the intentions and or doubting the intentions and the motivations of leadership, then if we're not careful, you can get into trying to control their direction and even their anointing and compete for their righteousness. And that is just, that's a bad thing. I've had people, folks who have come in before, and they try to, and maybe this is what you have done. You think because you're an intercessor and you're a strong intercessor, but then you start praying in the spirit while the leader is praying in English, and you think you're controlling what's coming out of their mouth. And you're trying to bring direction to them as they're being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't want to do that because you can't do that, and you open yourself up to a lot of demonic attack. And so the anointing of God in each and every person's life, we should honor and not try to control it. God's going to do what he is going to do as a person yields to them. And so if there are leaders listening, if there's leaders listening in tonight, you have to be careful as well in being a leader that you allow people to grow in their gifts and callings, and you don't try to control their anointings because of maybe fear that you have because they have something different than what you have. And so everyone has to learn once again to work together because we are many members.
And can I add timing?
One body.
Timing to that. Maybe you perceive another team member or the leader or your husband or boss or whoever as too slow. They don't jump on things fast enough. And so you're always trying to speed them up.
Right. And
or maybe you think that they jump into things too fast and you're always trying to slow them down. Well, if it could be that you do have an insight that you could share with them, but the point of this test is that are you doing it as a brother or sister who's on their side? Or are you using that opportunity to point out how your judgment is so superior to theirs? You know, that's not good. And number 28 would be like you tend to misrepresent their actions or their heart to others. See, you're not just talking to them disrespectfully. You're actually talking to other people and misrepresenting their actions. And maybe you forget to say part of the truth and only tell part of it. Or you share a story with the wrong people. You're sharing it horizontally when you should have gone to the leadership. Or like, say you see the leader with, say it's a man, and you see him at lunch with a woman that nobody in the group knows. If you just have to share that, you know, we saw him out to lunch with this woman. She's not from our church. We don't know who it was. Just the way I said that. See, is an intent to stir up doubt about the leader or about the team member.
And what if it was his sister?
Well, I have lunch
or
with
his aunt.
other fivefold ministers, mm-hmm. not in the back in the corner in the dark, but and we try to, you know, we make it right out, you know, front up in a well-lit area on purpose. So when we have nothing to hide, I mean, we're just talking ministry or business.
Right.
And I don't have this that lunch with them again the next week, you know, but still, there's always a way to tear down what God's doing if you try hard enough.
Yes. Boy, that's the truth. That is so true. We just don't want to misrepresent any action or heart of the leader or of our brothers and sisters. And so, and another biggie, number 29 is, do you ever find yourself emphasizing on someone else's weaknesses? And are you a person or maybe a leader? Maybe you see a weakness, you're an intercessor, and the Lord will reveal, he'll test you. But if you can't be have a pure heart about what the Lord has shown you to pray for a leader, then you may as well just forget it, because you're going to, well, there's going to be consequences for it. But as Prophet Carlotta said earlier, some of these things, God, he's testing you to see, you know, where is your heart? Do you, have you put that leader on the pedestal to think that they are infallible and they're not going to make any mistakes? But, and then
okay.
they make a mistake and you see something, and so you just emphasize on it, and then you don't, maybe you're someone who just don't forget their past mistakes, whether that's a spouse. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh.
A spouse. I could run with that.
Or family.
Sure.
Your own family.
Or family, yes.
If, see, the accuser of the brethren wants. The accuser of the brethren always sees you according to your past mistakes, and he wants you to see others, yourself and others, according to past mistakes rather than your potential. But a true prophetic person will prophesy things that you may think, well, that wasn't even a true prophecy. That person's nowhere near there. But a true prophetic person can see them with God's eyes and prophesy their potential and give them hope that because Christ is in me, I can be all that.
That's right. And you have to be careful, too. And I mean, and just what you're saying, Prophet Carla, I know when the Lord started giving me, you know, prophetic words for people, and I thought, well, they didn't deserve that. Lord, look at that. I mean, and then it was like, and then it'd be someone who had really hurt me bad, and they'd just get this amazing
mm-hmm.
word. And I'm like, and then I'm thinking, afterwards, my mind's going, you just stood there and lied to them and to everybody. And
this is a test.
The Lord was teaching me that I am not to judge anyone. He will speak to you, and your condition and where you're at in your state of being has nothing to do with what he wants to speak to you to encourage you.
Why do you think God likes us to prophesy to people over the radio? Because we don't know their batting record.
That's right.
It's so easy to prophesy just what God's saying, because we're not going, really? You know, Christ knows that he can do anything through them, you know, anything.
That's right. But I had to learn how to have the right heart, and thank the Lord for the grace he had on me, you know, years ago. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I like walking in this prophet thing. And even just as a, you know, a sister in the Lord, just speaking, you know, the Bible says when you see your brother or sister in error, go to them, you know, in humility. And it's like, not everybody wants that. But, you know, you learn to have a pure heart, and you walk in that humility knowing that, okay, you could be doing that next week. You know, whatever's going on.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sound callous. What I'm trying to say is, say I've been invited to a church and I'm supposed to prophesy to everybody there.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't found anybody yet God won't talk to, so I'm just comfortable with that. And say God says, well, he might tell me we're going to do the tough cases first. And so there's this person that everybody else knows is, say, a drug dealer or something in the back,
right.
And he says, prophesy to them first. And God starts prophesying to them through my mouth that they're going to be this great evangelist. And some people are probably ready to leave the service because they're thinking, well, we know she's a false prophet now if she thinks there's any way that person's going to evangelize. But see, God knows how to make people's weak places strong. That's why we love him. He can take any of us. He took me. I was the woman at the well for 20 years. He can make my weak places strong. He can restore me, and he wants to.
Yes, yes. And he does that. The Lord's done that through me so many times. And you learn after, you know, a season when you've gone through that testing, it's just such an honor, and it's such a joy and a delight to be able to speak the words of God that are life and they're rejuvenating into a person who is so, we would consider such a prodigal or just so far over. It, a lot of times that's the word that the Lord speaks to them that brings them back on course.
And maybe they're going to be a leader.
Yes, and they have hope. They have hope again in their life, and that they are someone that God, you know, God does have a good plan for them.
Amen. So, well, and number 30, maybe related to this, that you can get focused on your own short-term desires and where you want to go and what you want to do in the kingdom of God, or where you want to do in the business or your own promotion, or what you want in your marriage or in your family, rather than God's long-term goals, his eternal goals, his bigger picture. And it takes a real team member to lay down your agenda for the betterment of the whole group or the whole business or the whole church, to lay down your agenda. And really, when you do that, you're going to get there faster anyway if it was God's agenda, because he is all about laying things down on the altar, letting it die, and then he'll raise it up, multiply it. And sometimes that even looks like you're laying down your calling. This is a real strange example, but for those of you that are just sure that we've never been anywhere and we don't know what we're talking about, I am a prophet, and God let me visit a church, and don't be trying to guess where it was, because you won't, but he let me visit a church and offer to teach my Tearing Down Strongholds course there, and then on Sunday, during the song service, he starts telling me the lowdown about that church and how the pastor's a real witch that does really bad things. And so I'm standing there telling Lou this while they're all singing real loud, so I could tell Lou during the song service. And sure enough, it was all verified to me by the next day. And instead of telling me to run out of there, God kept me visiting there for 3 more months, Apostle Diane. And I knew that, you know, it didn't seem any point to it, but he wanted my presence there.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that pastor preached, I was looking him in the eye, and he'd look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And like one time he preached on deception, and I said amen several times because he knew that spirit real well, and he was doing a good job preaching on deception. But I just kept praying for him for 3 months. And it made him so uncomfortable for me to be there. And I knew that if he didn't turn back to God soon, that there'd be Ichabod written above the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God's going to say, I had a prophet in front of you for 3 months and you wouldn't repent.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes God will have you on a team or in a church or in a business, and you're the only light there in that darkness.
Sure.
But be a good light. Don't be a complainer and a whiner and the critical one. Show them what God can do when he restores somebody.
That's right. That's so good. That's so good, because we're always on a mission. Wherever God has us, where there's darkness, there's always light, the glorious light that will come out of that darkness. And so he has a mission. He has a plan. And, you know, so often I've told people, I'm just ready, or they said, I'm just ready to leave this job. I just can't stand my boss. And I'm like, well, then you need to stay there until your heart's right.
Well, sometimes God does give us a holy restlessness, but if it's all about bad attitudes, it's not God. You know, it's just our flesh is not comfortable. We're not getting what we want, and we want to leave. Okay, so guys, that's 30 points. And that, you know, if it were 25 points, it'd be easy to say each one counted four. And then you could subtract them, you know. But we gave you 30 points. You know why? Because we wanted to give you 20 points for free.
Yeah.
So all the things that you are not, because these were all negative, what you can do is subtract all your points. Let's do it this way. You can subtract all your points from 120 instead of 100. So if you were 10 of them, then you get 40 off, but instead of making a 60, so you subtract that 40 from 120. You give yourself 5. Why? Because we're giving you the benefit of the doubt, because some of you are hard on yourself. But if you made 50, even with that benefit of the doubt, then you've got some demonic spirits that are pulling on your flesh and working against you, and we're not trying to beat you up. We're trying to say, this is a real need for deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
If you failed it anyway, even with 5, you know, we gave you 20 points right off the bat.
Right.
Should we tell them what the test is for?
Well, I believe so. Should we have some callers and see if they want to know? I believe people want to get free. I believe people want to get free, and that's what this program is about. And it's not to condemn you at all. It is to help you so that if your score was not what you wanted it to be, and if you were really being honest with yourself, we want to help you so that you can get free of these things and you're not hindered any longer in your relationship with God, your relationship with others, but in your destiny and your purpose and the will of God in your life.
Well, what I did, Apostle Diane, was I wrote up this test and I took notes from different resources all in the same spirit. And what I wanted to do is, you know, just make sure they all said the same thing. And I realized that I saw this particular spirit as being a siren, you know, that it would be just so obvious, or, you know, they would be just like this slut in the church or something like that.
Right.
And when I started really writing down what John Paul Jackson and other people had said about this spirit, I realized how subtle it is and how any of us, I mean, all of us have to admit we've done some of these things.
Right.
Especially in tough situations. And so I think we ought to tell them what I have done, and I want you all you callers and listeners and downloaders and all to keep this a secret for me, okay? I have put this test on crosswalklife.com, and if you go to the search box at the top of crosswalklife.com and you type in team player, it'll pull up this test that we just gave you. Are you a good team player? And it doesn't say anywhere on the page what spirit this is a test for. But it's actually a test for a Jezebel spirit. And we didn't tell you, and we don't want you to tell other people on purpose, because then we'd all be guarded and defensive, right?
Right.
We need to just look honestly at ourselves and see how easy it is to be a poor team player, to be unsupportive or to be undermining. And not be all condemned and worried and defensive, but just say, Lord, help me in all these ways. You know, these things have come out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to pray for them, Apostle Diane, to be delivered of a Jezebel spirit?
Sure, I will do that, absolutely. And again, we don't want you to get into any condemnation. We want you to get free and to be free. And the Jezebel spirit is a very strong spirit right now that must be dealt with, so that, I mean, it really is probably, Prophet Carlotta, the number one spirit right now that is oppressing so many people in the body of Christ.
Pray, girl, pray.
I'm going to pray. Y'all ready? Here we go. Father God, we just come to you right now through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we just thank you that you're such a forgiving God.
Mm-hmm.
And Father God, we've gone down the list tonight of these different attributes, these different characteristics of a Jezebel spirit. And Father God, you know those who their hearts have been open and they've been crying out to get free. They've done some of these things and not really knowing why or the reason behind it. But Father, now they have that insight and they have revelation. They have wisdom. And so, Father God, I just lift up right now every listener right now, Father God. And I thank you for the authority that you have given to me as one that stands in that office of an apostle. And Father God, thank you, first of all, for your love, Lord God, that love that is so holy. And Father God, you're so willing to set every person free right now. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that Jezebel spirit right now that is oppressing each and every one. And I take that authority in the name of Jesus, and I cancel the assignment of the characteristics of that Jezebel spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over that Jezebel spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I loose you from the hold of that Jezebel spirit right now. That weapon that has been forming, that has tried to prosper in your life right now in the name of Jesus, I speak the word of the Lord that it shall not prosper from this day forth. In the name of Jesus, the power of that spirit is being destroyed by the anointing of God right now. As you are yielding right now, the power is weakening in Jesus' name. Now, some of you may be feeling something right now that doesn't necessarily feel good. Just stay submitted right now. Just stay open to the Holy Spirit. Because Father God is setting you free right now.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father God, I thank you right now that the blood of Jesus is annihilating, literally annihilating, eradicating. There is an eradication that is taking place right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father God, I thank you. Lord God, I thank you right now that hearts are being healed, that wounds are being mended right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pray for the pastors,
yes,
and the employers and the husbands and other people that have had,
yes,
to try to walk,
yes,
in the spirit with all this going on.
Yes, Father God. I just lift up every pastor to you, every leader right now, and every husband right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just pray over their minds right now, and I just release them right now. Father God, I thank you that anointing right now is just destroying that band off of their head right now. That vice grip that has been on their head is being loosened right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you, even those that have felt like you've had a sharp pain that has come in the top of your shoulder area across your back. It's literally sometimes felt like a hook. And right now, in Jesus' name, that hook is being removed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, I thank you right now, Lord God, for your holy ministering angels that are going forth right now. And in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, yes, I thank you right now that headaches are going to stop right now in the name of Jesus and leaders and pastors. Hallelujah. Those headaches are going to stop right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I cover every pastor, every leader that is listening and getting set free right now, or whenever they listen to the program. Father God, I just appropriate the blood of Jesus over their mind and over their heart. Lord God, even that mocking spirit that came to try to mock the authority of God in their life, that has tried to weaken their faith, I take authority right now and I silence that mocking spirit in the name of Jesus, from that Jezebel spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that every foul demonic spirit of witchcraft, of manipulation and control, devastation, destruction, Father God, I thank you that those spirits right there, they have no more leadership. They cannot operate because Jezebel has no authority any longer in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for bringing a healing into the hearts of your leaders, Father God. Lord God, I thank you that they'll have that boldness to stop any further teachings, any further words that have been spoken that have led others astray, Father God, according to your word. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that even idolatry will be addressed in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the boldness of the Holy Spirit right now in each and every leader. And Father God, I just thank you. I just see hearts of leaders right now. And God is going down into the very crevices of your heart, because some of you have some very deep places. Some of you have some very deep wounds where the wound is just one wound after another. And if a wound is not healed, every time it's wounded, it opens up. And so the Lord's just healing. The balm of Gilead is flowing right now. Father,
thank you
that the balm of Gilead is flowing into the hearts of these pastors and leaders. And, Father God, I thank you. Yes, Lord, I'll tell them. The Lord says to fear not and to be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged any longer, for I have given you my authority to speak, and I have given you my boldness. Therefore, open your mouth, my sons and my daughters. Open your mouth and speak, and you will see that there will be some, yes, they will leave because of an offense, but there will be some that will be repentive, and they will change because they're allowing their minds to be renewed, and they really want deliverance in their life. But know this, my sons and my daughters that I've called as leaders, that shift and that change that you've been looking for corporately, you will begin to see things move and accelerate as I'm cleaning house because of your yieldedness to me. And know that I will give you that strength to say exactly what you need to say. So fear not, and don't be discouraged any longer, for truly this is a new day, and you will see my glory in such a powerful way. You will begin to see the supernatural. It will begin to increase as you submit to my word this day and as you allow me to be the voice within you to speak with my boldness. For surely you will see that you are the leader that I have called you to be, that you are in the right place, that you did not make a mistake, but you are exactly where I have designated for you to be. You're in the right place at the right time. Watch and see the increase. Watch and see how you will increase in every area, and yes, even in the harvest of souls that will come into the places, into the buildings which I have called you into, for you have gathered together in my name. For I say to you that it is no longer just words that you have heard, and this is a far-off thing, that it is harvest time. For surely you shall even begin to see the harvest, even as early as tomorrow, you will begin to see the harvest in the place where I have called you. For there is a new freedom and a new liberty that I'm giving to you, even now, says the Lord your God.
And this would be another whole program, and I acknowledge that, so I won't go into any detail, but I just want to tack onto the prayer a 2 or 3 PSs, and that would be to, we also pray for those who are truly in situations where they should not only set boundaries, but maybe get out. And I just pray for those right now. There's, for instance, in a domestic violence situation, it's not that you just have to pretend that it's okay and lay down and get beat up and, you know, never press charges and never set a boundary and never leave. I pray for that you will receive words of wisdom and words of knowledge from God, receive his wisdom, and know that God didn't create anybody to be beat up all the time. Or maybe you're in a situation where your employer, husband, pastor, whatever, is trying to pressure you to do overt sin. There's no question about it. They're trying to pressure you to sin, but you still don't go into gossip. We pray for you that you will do what Paul says, that you will entreat them. You entreat them, and you explain to them. And you might think, sure, well, they already know, you know, but that you will be able to go to them and explain to them that you cannot do what they've asked. Say, an employer is asking you to lie about your sales or whatever, and lie in order to get sales. That you explain to them what your Christian values are, and explain to them what your limits and boundaries are, and be willing to take the consequences. Say, well, if you have to fire me, you have to, but I just can't lie to make sales. And if you're in a situation where even I'm going to say this real briefly, but say that you've got corrupt leaders over you that you didn't choose and you feel helpless, it's still not a time to be constantly murmuring. And you'll notice that on my Facebook that I am pretty clear about what my values are. But there's a difference between saying, it may be a thin line to you, but there's a difference between saying that I'm going to take a stand for godly values, but I'm not allowed still to try to destroy a person's character, to call them names, you know, and to really, well, there's a difference. This list still applies in a way, but there is a time, I'll say it this way, there is a time for people to be confronted when they're truly opposing kingdom principles. And maybe you are not in their chain of authority, you know, but we all have to pray about what kind of stand God wants us to take. I was teasing Apostle Diane at the program's beginning, is Texas going to secede from the Union? Well, that's a stand for you, but it still doesn't give us the right to constantly gossip and murmur and do everything we can to destroy a person's livelihood and everything else. You know, we need to go through appropriate channels, through chains of authority when people need to be confronted, and be sure that we're doing it God's way.
Yes. And may I just encourage leaders right quick and tack on to that. And that is, if you know, don't be afraid. The Lord said that he would give you the boldness, and as you just opened your mouth, and you'll say whatever needs to be said, and it'll be seasoned graciously, because that's how the Lord is. But don't be afraid, because we have an accountability as leaders to go to a person once, and then to go to them a second time with someone. And then if they're still not a change, then you bring that person before the church. Now, that is New Testament. That is the Word of God. And in Timothy, the Bible says, 2 Timothy, the Bible says that there's people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
Right.
And from these, as such, turn away. You cannot permit someone, because God is going to hold you as that leader accountable for what you're letting that person do if that person does not have a willingness to be set free from that Jezebel spirit or whatever spirit that is hindering. But since we've been talking about a Jezebel spirit tonight, but you are accountable. And the Bible says to turn away. You can't allow people to keep doing what they're doing that is wrong, especially when that person has responsibility in your church, in your ministry. I don't care if they're the worship leader or if they're over the children's ministry or whatever they're doing. You have an accountability and a responsibility. And don't be afraid. God's on your side. He's for you and he's with you. But you do have, this is truth that you're hearing tonight. And so just know that you can't keep on allowing that. We have to obey as pastors and leaders all of the word, because we're responsible for that person that's operating in demonic spirits, but under that oppression, there's an impartation of that to others. And you just, your first obedience is to the Lord and to his word. So we must start doing that. Is it a difficult thing to do? Yes, it is. I've done both of those things.
Well, and you have to be, ask God what your chain of authority is.
Right.
And go through the proper channels that he gives you. And we don't need to take these stands alone most of the time. Most of the time.
No.
I'd like to give an example of someone keeps trying to private chat me. And let me tell y'all, I can't talk and write private conversations. Now, you can contact me at the office tomorrow, please, or
yes,
the next day.
But they
just keep trying to carry on private conversations, and that's kind of what we're talking about tonight. Don't distract from what the leader is trying to do, because I can't talk one thing and write another. But I want to tell you that since I already started that example, when God had me visit that church for 3 months where the pastor was literally a witch with advanced witchcraft powers, he still didn't let me gossip about him. I mean, people would meet me at the Walmart and they'd say, you know, he's never going to let you teach there. And I said, I know. And I said, I'm not asking, you know, I'm not even saying anything. And they said, that's just it. He's scared spitless of you and you don't even say anything. The power of God will do its own work. We don't have to. And it won't help at all for us to gossip about people and undermine. That's the whole point tonight. Even if they're dead wrong in what they're doing, our job is to intercede. Unless God gives us a real clear green light to say something and exactly what to say. Don't make yourself a needless casualty of war, you know. Now, I've noticed something. I know when we teach this long, people begin to wonder if they're ever going to receive ministry. So some people have hung up. But I want to say, if you want to receive prophetic ministry, prophetic prayer, either one tonight, if you would push the number 1 so that we can see that you do want ministry, this is the time to do it. We've got at least one here. And if you have a friend that has not received ministry on this program before, we don't have time for a lot of second timers tonight, but you know, go ahead and call in 917-388-4683 and just push that number 1 and we'll know that you're wanting to receive ministry. And then I'd also like to hear from you all. If you would like more clarity on this subject directly, you know, how to deal with leaders that maybe are in sin, you know,
mm-hmm.
We could address that on another program, or if you are in a domestic violence situation or an abuse situation, or, you know, there's something really bad wrong about the chain of authority wherever you are. We also have programs that we've done in the past. I know in one, Apostle Diane gave her testimony about having been through some abuse and things. We've got another one early on in our archives in Blog Talk Radio about domestic violence, about people that have survived assault and the healing that it took, people that are survivors of abuse. So there's probably half a dozen programs on those things already. We wouldn't mind doing it again, but just let us know what you need. Are you ready to prophesy to somebody, Apostle Diane?
I'm ready.
Now, we've got a caller. I don't know if it's blocked or it's Skype, but all the numbers are 1. So I'm just going to say area code 111. Welcome to the program. You're live on the air.
Yeah, hi. My name is Gary. I wonder if I can have prayer tonight.
You're Gary. Okay. Where are you from, Gary?
I'm from California.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Who's going to go first?
You want to start it?
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Well, go ahead. You're the guest.
Okay. Well, Father God, we just lift Jerry up to you right now. And Father God, thank you for your hand that is upon Jerry's life. And Father God, I just ask you right now, in your son's most precious, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I just ask you for just that wisdom and just that direction that Jerry needs right now in his life, Lord God, in this place where you have called him. And Father God, I thank you for his heart that is just so towards you and to do the right thing, Lord God, to even speak the right thing and to be led by your Holy Spirit. And Father God, I just ask you right now that you would just remove any kind of hindrance right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you for just removing any obstacle, Lord God, in this new place where you have called him, Lord God. Yes, Father, thank you. Hallelujah. I just hear the Lord just telling me to tell you that he's going to give you a new strategy in the place where you are, and that there has been a shift. You have been transitioning, but you're going to begin to see a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he's going to open up to you the prophetic in a fresh new way. And he's going to have you, there will be specific places where the Lord will have you, and just wisdom will begin to operate. And you'll begin to just speak forth that wisdom, because the knowledge will already be there. But the Lord's going to give you revelation in some situations. And I just heard the Lord saying, don't focus on, the condition that is around you, but to focus on the position, because he's calling you into a new position with him. And I see the Lord giving you, it's like I see him putting a scepter in your, I guess that's what it is, a scepter, a golden scepter into your hand, because the Lord says that you're going to begin to rule in the spirit and reign with him with just a new level of authority, but that wisdom will begin to flow out of you in a much, much greater way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
And I just hear the Lord saying that there have been times when you wondered if your calling was to be the sacrificial lamb. And there have been things that you have laid down that were tough. And times when you just poured yourself out for others, or you felt like God wanted you to even pour more out for others. And the Lord says, nothing escapes me. I have seen all that. I've seen when you did it willingly, when you did it when it was hard, but and I've seen the struggle. sometimes, but the Lord says, I have promised you that whatever you lay down for the kingdom's sake, you will receive back 100-fold. And 100-fold is way more than 100 times. It's a lot. And the Lord says, I have eternity. You have eternity for me to, you know, just bless you. And the Lord says, for those who have made being an expression of my heart and a demonstration of my power their priority in this life, your reward is that you will know me so much better in the life to come. Not only this life, but in the life to come. And I will never be indebted to you. You will even thank me for some of the things that you've gone through. All of them, really. You'll thank me because you'll see that I have eternity to lavish reward on you and to pay you back 100-fold. And I will never be indebted to you. It will be worth it. It will be worth it, what you've laid down for the kingdom's sake.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you relate to any of that?
Yes, thank you so very much. I'm just overwhelmed. Thank you so very much.
Praise God.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Well, good.
So you can relate to what I spoke as well.
Yes.
Praise
I'm telling
God.
You, I'm there in the ship. Thank you so much.
Wow. Praise God.
Thank you very much. Hallelujah.
Well, keep on trusting.
I sure will. I sure will. And how do I donate to your ministry, Carletta? How do I donate to your ministry?
If you go to nowfaith.tv.
Yes.
At the bottom of most of the main pages, there's a button. And on the front of crosswalklife.com, either one.
Okay, thank you. I'll definitely do that.
That'd be fantastic. This would be a good time, too. Apostle Diane, you want to give your contact information?
Sure. People can contact me at www.dove-ministries.com. And there's a phone number, there's an email address when you just go in to the website, and they'll be able to get to me through that, or they can call the church number, 972-772-5544.
Amen. You guys are wonderful. It was a powerful message, and I'm telling you, the anointing of God, the revelation that you guys have brought, it will change lives if people really just heed to what you're saying. I thank you for both of you. You be blessed.
Wow.
Well, thank
Praise
you.
God. Thank blessed. You, Jerry. Wow.
We're just... We know too much of this from experience.
Yes.
But I can see those demons by the whites of their eyes because I've had to deal with it in myself and other people. Thank you, Jesus, that you really do give us insight. We thank you for open eyes and open ears.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, if anyone else wants prophetic ministry, please push the number one now because we've got callers, but we don't feel free to call on you unless you push that number one. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Okay, area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta, I'm Apostle Diane. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
You all recovered from the storm now?
Yes, we're recovered from the storm.
Oh, good.
Thank God.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, Apostle Diane, but I know Valerie, so would you like to lead out on her too?
Well, sure. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We're
Hi,
doing
Valerie.
Team ministry, and you're always the leader.
I know. I'm like, Lord.
Well, I could.
How are
I
you
could.
Doing?
I just don't want to say too much because she knows I know too much in the natural.
Right. So, Valerie, are you blessed tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. Well, Father, I just thank you right now for Valerie. And Father God, thank you that she is your precious daughter of Zion. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you that you have called Valerie into the kingdom, Lord God, for such a time as this. And Father God, I thank you for the anointing of God. that is up on her life, Lord God, that you are increasing it. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for the harvest, Lord God. Father, thank you that this is such an awesome time in Valerie's life, Lord God. Thank you that your plans are unfolding. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, that you're making your will, you're making your ways known to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Father God, I thank you that you have put your words in her mouth. Father God, that she is a ready pen writer. Hallelujah. And Father God, thank you. Yes, Lord God, thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. It is just hovering over her even now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Valerie, I just hear the Lord saying that there is a song deep within you, and the Lord's going to just breathe upon you, and the song of the Lord is going to begin to just flow out of you. And I don't know if you like to sing, or if you want, you do. Okay. But there is a song, and it's a song of gladness of heart, and it's like, as Isaiah said, is one who marches in procession to go to the temple of the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And I see the Lord taking you up into high places. I see you going up the mountainside, and he's taking you up into a high place. And the Lord said that he would cause his glorious voice to be heard. There are things that the Lord wants to speak to you in this season. Hallelujah. Some very specific things. And so as you allow yourself to have that quality time with him. And I say quality because a lot of times quality time is a lot more fruitful than quantity time. But it's a quality time. It's a real, I see real special times, real special places with him. But as you go up, and there's a song, well, I want to say there's many songs, but I see the Lord giving you actually a CD and just many songs. And they're songs of deliverance. And because, again, it's a song of a glad heart. And people need hope. And there's hope that comes out of the gladness of the heart with the song of the Lord. And so, stay in that place of seeking him and just know that the Lord is breathing upon you. And I see him coming to you even in the bedchamber. And he's going to come and he's going to dine with you and wine with you. And I see you dancing with him, just dancing with the Lord, just staying in step. You know, he's leading, but you're staying in step with him. And I hear this little phrase, happy days are here to stay. Happy days are here to stay.
Thank you, Lord.
It's a new season. It really is, and it is a new day, and there is such a harvest. And your heart towards him, you know, he's so blessed by your heart that is so pure towards him and for him, because you have such a desire for that intimacy and for just developing that relationship with him, for it to become deeper and deeper and deeper. And so even though he says that as you go up to the mountain, as you come up and you meet with the rock of Israel, that also that there will be deeper places where you go in him, where treasures are going to be unveiled to you. And I see like a treasure chest. And just like in the movies, I don't remember like if you ever saw the Goonies, but there's just, I see a treasure chest and it's opening up and it's just overspilling with treasures.
Yeah.
And of the secret things of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so this is a very, it's a very, very defined time in your journey, because it's going to be a great time of growth.
Yeah.
In that place of intimacy with Him. And that is His desire, as much as it is your desire. He longs for you to have that quality time with Him, and He desires your company. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Valerie, just to add something to that, the Lord says, I'm giving you a new courage and a new boldness because I'm expanding your spiritual authority, and you're going to see it coming about. So I'm just preparing your heart for it, because there are even people in your own community and people that I'm going to bring into your sphere of influence that need the message that we shared tonight. And I believe this is God, because it wasn't that I was thinking it before 5 minutes ago, you know. But the Lord says this is part of your life message, because you have a lot of friends and other people who, in spite of their devotion to me, the Lord says, that they have spoken troubles into their own lives by the way they have talked about leadership.
Yeah.
Of all kinds, and talked about the people that were talking about leadership, and they've just got too much to say,
mm-hmm.
and they're speaking their own problems into existence. And the Lord says that you're a very gentle person. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the enemy would want to intimidate you, but the Lord says, I'm actually going to make this into a strength, where you will have a new boldness, and you'll have that Issachar anointing to know the timing. And even though the spirit in that person may react and want to retaliate, you're going to know how to bind all that, and you're going to know how to and when to say what and how to set them free.
Amen.
Their eyes and ears will be opened, and they'll see it. Maybe not that minute. They might get mad at you first, but then they'll come back and say, I do want to be free. Help me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
And that kind of, Prophet Carlotta, what you just shared, and that can only come out of that deeper, intimate relationship with the Lord, because there's more. The more you know Him and the more you're falling in love with Him, the greater assurance there is of
yeah.
who you are,
yeah.
of who you are. It's like we know who God is, but the question now is, who are you in
yeah.
Christ? We
Amen.
Have to learn who we are to be able to do what He's called us to do.
Yeah.
And
Let
so
me...
there has to be a shift in that.
Let
yeah.
me call on at least one more person here. But if anybody else wants ministry, if you'll push number one, we'll just wish Valerie an awesome night and
yes,
prophetic dreams right and left and everything
please.
Else.
God bless you both.
Well, he
oh,
is.
Thank
he is.
You.
And you and your family. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. We've got a couple more callers. I think if we make them concise, Lord. We can do this. Area code 727, welcome to the program. Wait a minute. I had you muted. Now, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Jan from Florida.
Oh, Jan from Florida. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm. Ouch. I just see these Spanish bayonets. The Lord says the devil is trying to do things to just like, ouch, stab you like with those, like if you back into a Spanish bayonet and you're getting stuck every which way. But the Lord says, I know how to pull those darts out. And
mm-hmm.
I am. You know, I am. And As I raise you up as that one that's able to come against the stronghold rather than the person. It doesn't mean you'll never feel hurt, never feel any pain. But I'm aware of what the enemy wants to do is just to incite people to slow you down and to stab you or to hurt you. But the Lord says, I'm giving you more power and authority. I'm giving you more insight, more discernment. And even though they've questioned, you know, who you are, what you're not doing, what you are doing, everything else, the Lord says, I am prospering you. I am raising you up, and I am equipping you in ways, and I am providing for you as I do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
And Jan, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. And Jan, I'm just hearing, too, that you must continue every day to renew your mind and to stay in the Word of God. And because the Word of God, that is your authority, but the Word of God is, it's your place of protection, because, you know, these little things that come, I mean, the Word of God, of course, is that shield about you, you know, those little arrows that want to come at you and keep coming at you, as Prophet Carlotta was sharing. You just have to continue in the Word and just get more and more. And, of course, the Holy Spirit will lead you to it, you know, to specific things He will lead you to. But I just want to pray just and speak a covering over your mind. I just come against any torment or any lying spirits that would come to bring strongholds. And, Father, I thank you right now that the helmet of salvation is on your daughter, and that the enemy is aware of that helmet. It's just almost like seeing things come so against your mind that the enemy would want to use, again, to torment you, but that has been taken authority over. And so just the authority has been taken over, but just stay in the Word of God. The Word of God is healing to you. It's healing to your bones. It's healing to every part of your being. But I know I'm hammering that, because that's how I'm hearing it from the Holy Spirit, is to just continue to stay in the Word, because it is your very life and your very spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you guys so much. God bless
you're
you
welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Praise God.
Wow.
Keep in touch. Send us emails at cwt@cwlinc.com and let us know how you're doing. Let us know what God's doing.
Amen.
cwt@cwlinc.com.
Thank you. God bless you both.
God bless you.
Thanks,
God. We have two more callers. Let's see if we can do this. Area code 972, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Karen from Texas.
Karen from Texas, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I needed this word tonight.
You did?
A lot of questions that I've been asking. And I didn't score so high, but I also know the Lord's been working on me and bringing a lot of things up that I need to deal
bless
with.
Your heart. Bless your heart.
Thank God.
You know, sometimes God just blesses with some fairly lousy leadership so that we can learn all about this. We can see, you know, what is that book? Tale of Three Kings, where David, you know, is anointed to be king, and he learns that he cannot touch God's anointed. When he cuts off the edge of, what was it, Saul's robe or something, then he's convicted that he just really loved doing that, and that was not the attitude that God wanted him to have. But then he also had to deal with his own son, Absalom, betraying him. And then he had to deal, like we all do, we feel like the victim, but then we have to look at ourselves and see, is there some Absalom in us that would betray the king? You know, and God's given me verses on betrayal, like when Peter betrayed Jesus three times. He's given me verses like that several times, so I knew this message was needed. And, you know, sometimes it's the Absalom in us, but sometimes we're tempted to talk too much about the leaders ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Okay, who's going to minister to Karen first?
Well, I know Karen. I'm going to let you pray or prophesy,
okay.
And then if the Lord says anything to me, hi Karen.
Hi.
And then of course I will. Absolutely. But I'm gonna let you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord says I haven't been leaving things up to chance, you know. It's not just like a roll of the dice or something like that. The Lord says that I have carefully been orchestrating things that I allow in your life, and everything that I've allowed in your life has come through a filter. It had to come past my fingers. And that's hard sometimes. It's hard to understand my sovereignty, the Lord says, but I am carefully orchestrating things, and you will see that I'm good for my promise, that I will make everything work out for the good. Everything work out for the good. And it's not haphazard. It's not left to chance. I know exactly who I'm molding and making you to be, and it's bigger than you think. And you've needed a bigger foundation than you thought. And your destiny is bigger than you think, and the people that you will affect, it's going to amaze you. But the Lord says, what I'm letting you do is come up against some of these things and these people that rub you like sandpaper. I'm letting you experience that now so that you will know that you hear my voice and you know how to handle situations and you know how to have compassion for people or to confront them or whatever they need. Because the Lord says it won't be that long before I give you this expansion and promotion, but then you'll have a new level of confidence with it because you'll know that I have already been tested, whatever, in this area. I know I can trust my Lord in it. And you won't need to prove yourself to people. And when they do call you names or whatever, you won't even necessarily need to reply. Because like Jesus, when you know who you are, you don't have to prove it. And you're just going to have a level of confidence and courage and a clear conscience through whatever, and be able to be that end-time witness that I've called you to be. You're hardly going to recognize yourself in just a couple of years because of my faithfulness. Mm-hmm. I'm just molding and making you beyond your expectations, beyond what you've asked me for, and you've wanted to help people, and you've wanted to see people free, and you've wanted to see people healed, but it's going to be far better than you think.
Awesome. And I have a scripture out of Lamentations, Karen, that says that it is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. The Lord is my portion or share, says my living being, or my inner self. Therefore will I hope in him and wait expectantly for him. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of him and for him, and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation and ease of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth. Let him sit alone, uncomplaining, and keeping silent in hope, because God has laid the yoke upon him for his benefit. and let him put his mouth in the dust in abject recognition of his unworthiness, that there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who smites him, even though his human agents, let him be fulfilled. Let him be filled with men's reproach and weakness, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But though he causes grief, yet will he be moved to compassion according to the multitude of his loving kindness and tender mercy. Praise God. So his mercy and his grace is towards you, his loving kindness. He is your portion. And keep putting your hope in him, because you are getting free. And God is bringing that deliverance and healing as you just keep crying out to him and calling out to him and allowing him to be who he is in your life. And so praise God for that encouragement, because there's so much more. I mean, your best days truly are ahead of you, Karen. Mm-hmm. They're not behind you. Mm-hmm. They're ahead of you. So just know that there are great things to come. And to those who are given great things and given much, there's a lot required. And so, and I love your honesty in what you said when you first called in. That's a very honest, a very brave thing to say. And because of the humility, even in that, God's taking note of that. And you'll see that the deliverance is going to come quicker than you think. All these years that the struggle has been there is fixing to end, and great things are fixing to begin to manifest and happen. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Could you relate to that, Karen?
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you are wonderful. You are wonderful, wonderful. I thank you that these prophecies are specific enough so that the person knows, even though it may sound general to other people, that you don't embarrass us. You say things in a way that it brings healing and freedom. And we don't have to beg for that freedom. You want us to be free, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please send us a testimony, Karen. I don't know you, and so you can send that to CWT@CWLINC.com.
Praise God.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you. I wrote it down.
Okay.
Now we've got one more. If we can praise fit God. In one more, we'll try. That would be area code 469. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Is it okay if I ask a question without sharing my name?
Yes.
If leadership is abusive, do you submit and stay in that situation, or do you leave, or that's my question for tonight.
Okay. Well, I'll just address you as daughter then. Is that right? And everybody needs to take note of about what time they receive their word so they can go back and listen to it and write it down. But daughter, I am faithful, faithful, faithful to show you and to lead you and direct you and to put the words in your mouth that I want you to say. And you will know when to set limits. You'll know if you like need to read Cloud's book on boundaries again, or you'll know if it's a matter of having boundaries. You'll know when I'm asking you to actually meet with people and how much to say. You're going to know. I'm going to bring good counsel alongside, and you will have that support that you need so that you will know how to pray about these things, because there's the exponential power of agreement in prayer. And the Lord says that I have a plan. and I have a strategy. But I want to strengthen your relationships with people that do have your best interest at heart, and you will have some guidance, and you're going to grow through this in knowing how to deal with things, how to be assertive in some cases, and how to intercede far more effectively, praying loosing and binding prayers. You're just going to learn a lot through this situation. But I hesitate to get into something that sounds like advice on the air, so I'd like to just give you our office number. It's 724-206-0530. I'll be out of town tomorrow. I won't be there tomorrow, but maybe Wednesday or Thursday. 724-206-0530. Apostle
Diane,
what did you...
And they're also welcome, too. I'm sorry? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. What did you get?
Oh, well, she is also welcome to call. I recognize the 469 area code.
Oh, okay.
And, but she is welcome to call, too, the Church of the Glory as well, and that's where I can be reached at. But in a situation like this, there's only so much that you can say on the air, because that's absolutely truth as far as giving any kind of directions. And so it's hard to, because there's different kinds of abuses, and it's too personal. But the Lord, I'm in total agreement, because the Lord will show you line upon line and precept upon precept and step upon step the exact timing. But maybe if you're able to, at a later time, share a little bit more detail, then there could be more of a direct answer.
Right.
We cannot do that on the air. So
I kind of have a little forte. I didn't really ask for it, but it's just grown over the years of ministering to survivors of real abuse of all kinds, and to help people to understand what is abuse and what is maybe just you being intimidated and you need to set firm boundaries or limits or, need healing. So I'd like to talk to you, and I know Apostle Diane will, and we are available. It's just I can't pretend that this is small enough to put in a 2-minute prophecy, Can't do that.
So, can you give the number one more time?
Which one?
The phone number you gave earlier.
Oh, that I gave? 724-206-0530. And I think it's on the Blog Talk Radio description. It's on our websites at crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv. Well, our time's about gone.
Okay.
Apostle Diane, would you like to give your websites again?
Sure. You can go to, I'll give a couple of websites. There's www.churchofhisglory.org or www.dove-ministries.com. And there's a contact number, there's contact address. They can just get a hold of me anyway through that, through either one of those websites. What a joy it has been tonight, an honor to be able to share truth.
It's our pleasure. Our pleasure. And a lot of big subjects came up tonight, so I want to encourage our listeners to contact us and let us know what you would like us to address next. And to please be with us next week for more Crosswalk Talk. And Apostle Diane has her own program. And you can look us up on Blog Talk Radio and go into our archives. But we just want you to just focus on Jesus right now. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus and say, Lord, if I missed anything tonight that you wanted to say to me, I'm listening now. Open my eyes, Lord. I don't want to be the last one to know. Open my eyes and show me if I'm a good team player, if I'm, operating in your chain of authority the way you want me to, because I want to be that person that's humble before you, Lord, just humble before you, that you can live through, that you can promote, that you can express your heart through me, Lord. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
You're our all in all, Lord. Thank you for your glory, for your presence, mm-hmm. your anointing. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
In the light.